Genesis 22, 1-14. Abraham sees Christ. Not literally, of course, but he sees him in picture form. Now, where do I get all this from? Well, John 8:56, for a start. Christ could tell the Jews that Abraham had seen his day and rejoiced. Abraham has had some understanding of what Christ would do when he came into the world. Of course, it was fuzzy, hazy, shadowy, blurred. But according to Christ's own words, Abraham saw Christ by faith. Galatians 3:8, the gospel in advance was preached to Abraham. Isaiah 29:22, the Lord redeemed Abraham. I believe it's fair to say that in this happening here, on this mountain, is it Mount Moriah, where Abraham sacrificed, or was about to sacrifice his son, was prevented from so doing, that he really did see Christ typified before him, pictured before him, illustrated before him, and he, by faith, perceived Christ. And I'm going to give a short discourse in that vein now. Unbeliever, you may well dismiss all this as fantastical. You see, you walk by sight. But the truth is, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. And Abraham saw, literally, but he saw spiritually in this event. And I hope by setting out this short discourse, you too might see Christ, and not only see him, as it were, in your mind's eye, but in your heart receive him, and trust upon him, and rely upon him, and give yourself to him. Believer, you will know all this already. I'm just reminding you of lessons you have long since learned, and more than learned. This is your hope and your salvation, as it is mine. 1. Isaac bound upon the altar. Verse 9. He's laid on the altar. And he's bound there. Helpless and hopeless, a victim. And whatever you think, unbeliever, this is the truth about you. You are in a hopeless and helpless and condemned condition. Ephesians 2:1-3. John 3, the wrath of God abides on you. Romans 1:18 and all on. The wrath of God is revealed and is upon you. You are dead in your sins under the wrath of God. I know you might dismiss this, but it's the truth, my friend. You have to see this. You have to realize this, appreciate this. You're in a helpless and hopeless condition. You are a breath away from eternity, from judgment and everlasting damnation if you're not in Christ. I warn you of it. But the second thing I see here, and Abraham saw it, I believe, that day. He saw that. He knew he was a doomed and helpless sinner in himself. He saw it in his son Isaac. The second thing is that sinners can be delivered. We're all sinners, of course. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Sinners can be delivered. Let him go, release him. Do not lay a hand on the boy, verse 12. What is that about? There's a voice of sovereign mercy sounding forth in the gospel, you know, God's voice. The angel here speaking to Abraham, let him go. Isaac did not die. And I know every believer listening to me will understand this. Through faith in our Lord Jesus, my brother and sister, we have been delivered from death. God in his mercy has sounded this word for us. Let him, let her go. Release him, release her. Help for the helpless, hope for the hopeless in the gospel. Is there a sinner here listening to me, an unbeliever, who's come to a despairing state? There is hope for the hopeless. There is help for the helpless in Jesus Christ and in the sovereign grace of God. How did Isaac get deliverance? What did Abraham learn that day? It's through sacrificial death, through the shedding of the blood of an innocent victim. The ram, the lamb, was sacrificed. How many New Testament texts take this picture and expound it? Hebrews 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. God will not be appeased except by the blood of sacrifice. And all the blood of lambs and goats and bulls shed on Jewish altars could never atone, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 Peter 1, 18-19, the lamb, innocent lamb, the sinless lamb, the spotless lamb, he was sacrificed, and God is appeased. Behold the Lamb of God, said John the Baptist, John chapter 1, said it twice. And he goes on and on like that in the New Testament. And this is the picture that Abraham saw. He saw this and rejoiced that by the sacrificial death, the bloodshed of this ram, Isaiah 53, and verse 12, he poured out his life, his soul, his blood in death. He had to die. Jesus had to die in the place of the victim. And that's the next point. It is not only sacrificial death. It is deliverance by substitute. Christ was made sin, or a sin substitute, or a sin offering for us. 2 Corinthians 5. Instead of, what a wonderful picture. You get this in verse 13. He offered this ram instead of his son. The old King James had it in the stead of his son. It couldn't be clearer. Abraham saw it. In my place, Jesus. In my place, condemned, he stood. Jesus did. Sealed my pardon with his blood. A vicarious victim. A substitutionary atonement. In the place of. Taking my place. Bearing my sin. Or we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sin of us all. Speaking there of the elect of God. Jesus bore the curse for his cursed people. Galatians 3, verse 13. In my place, standing where I should stand, bearing my sin, bearing the wrath of God for me. This is what the believer can say. Unbeliever, this is what you need. You can't yourself provide a way. You can't yourself find a way. There is no hope or help in what you can do. It has to be a substitutionary atonement. The perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in the place of sinners. It's particular redemption, too. It was Isaac who was redeemed here. And with the apostle, we can say, all believers can say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Unbeliever, do not rest until you know it, until you trust in Christ. And then you can say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. So the victim, the helpless, hopeless victim, the sinner, which we all are, released by sovereign mercy, the voice of mercy, the voice of power, the voice of grace. But of course it's through the shedding of the blood of a victim, the Lord Jesus. And it's a vicarious sacrifice. Notice, fifthly, it's all of God's providing. It's all of God's establishing. Abraham didn't do it. He simply saw, verse 13. He saw, he looked up, and he saw the ram there. It was God who provided it. Abraham made this expressly clear, verse 14. He called that place, the Lord will provide. He'd said already, the Lord will provide the lamb, verse 8. Abraham saw all this. God has to do it. God will do it. And he rested his soul upon that coming sacrifice. We today see that God has done it in Christ, and we rest our souls upon the finished work of Christ. It is accomplished, said Christ in John 19. The Lord has worked salvation. Propitiation is by the blood of Christ. The Lord has done it. What we could not do, Christ has done. Romans 3, Isaiah 53, Acts 2, many scriptures speak of this. The Lord has set him forth as a propitiation. The Lord has accomplished redemption. I preach sovereign grace, free mercy, sovereign mercy, all from the hand of God for helpless, hopeless sinners. O unbeliever, that you would cast yourself upon God's provision, God's mercy, God's grace, God's setting forth of Christ. Effectual salvation through Jesus Christ alone. The next point, the sixth point I see here, that Abraham had to look up and see and go over and take the lamb and offer the lamb. Well, what do I learn from that? Well, I've preached Christ to you. Abraham had to make use of this ram, as it were, verse 13. I preach Christ to you. But it's not just simply head knowledge, an acknowledgement of this that counts. You must receive and welcome and trust this Savior and lean upon him and call upon him, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Will you come to him now? It's not simply knowing the facts of the gospel. It is trusting the Christ of the gospel. Will you trust Christ now? Will you repent and turn and cry out for mercy? And the seventh point is this. The gospel way leads to worship. That point comes over very strongly in this passage. Abraham saw all this, and verse 5, he said, we're going to worship. We're going to worship. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. And he went to glorify God. God himself, verse 8, he said. And then again in verse 14, the Lord will provide. He feared the Lord. He respected the Lord. That's part of the previous discourse. He came through his testing, fearing the Lord, worshipping the Lord. But to bring it in here now, he came out of this experience, seeing Christ by faith, worshipping God, rejoicing in God. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. The gospel was preached to Abraham in advance, and he saw in Isaac the way of substitutionary atonement. And I have tried to set these things before you, unbeliever, for your salvation. Brother and sister, to remind you, remind myself of the glorious gospel of the all-gracious God. May we rest again, our souls in Christ, as Satan been tempting you. Then remind yourself that the Son of God has loved you and given himself for you. You are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus. There is no condemnation now to you, for by one offering he has perfected you forever. Brother and sister, this is all true for you. Unbeliever, if you look to Christ, it will all be true for you now. So look and live. Look and be redeemed. Rest yourself for time and for eternity on the finished sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ.